The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Something of a cluster of a Wednesday edition. How you doing, Dom?
Yeah, man. I am great, Crudy. Good to see you, Rich. Thank you. Working the board. Our fair audience, happy, happy hump day to us all.
You know, I've been bust my ass since about 5:30 this morning.
Wow, you got to be pretty cranky then.
Crudy. I am a little cranky, I got to admit. I am a little cranky, and we'll share the crankiness in the 4 o'clock hour. I've spent the entirety of my day in a hot parking lot, talking to Trump supportive, trying to seem friendly and not get my ass kicked in Waukesha at the Expo Center. For the sake of our audience, Dom, I do it for them. I do it for you.
Do it for you. We are here for you. Consider this your community service, Grudy.
Yeah. All the community service I told people I had done in the past, specifically a probation officer. Well, I played a little retribution today, Dom. Trump's promising to bring retribution if reelected. I felt a little retributed, let's just say that.
Yeah. Trump is the storm.
So we'll get into, you know, a number of new friends that I made today at the Trump rally in Waukesha. And so nice of our audience to give me some weapons, some tools, some bullets to go into that crowd and ask some pointed questions or less pointed questions, dependent on the person and how many friends they had standing. Right. Who are you and why are you here? You know, so there was some of that. But I got to tell you, mostly very nice people.
Yeah.
I bet they mostly have clean lawns, well groomed.
Why would you assume that? I mean, I'm a nice guy. I hate cutting lawns. Lawns are stupid.
Well, I would assume that about you seeing you, Dom, and I didn't see you at the Trump rally. I didn't say you were a nice guy, and you, I bet, have a nice looking lawn because I've known you for long time.
I'm just curious to know what your judging criteria is for those with neat lawns. Does that include the hedging, you know? And I'm just clear. I'm just not clear on how you discern who amongst the Trumpsters, you know, has a nice, clean, trim-cut lawn, like perhaps, you know, the GOP head here in Wisconsin, Brian Schimming. Maybe he's got a really clean-cut lawn, but perhaps some don't.
Dominic, there are only a couple of sorts that I saw at the Trump rallies. Those with immaculate lawns, and they probably shake a fist at every kid. You get off my lawn! Those kind
no
of guys.
On the lawn. Yep.
Very curmudgeon-y, older. Always wearing a Trump hat, if not a MAGA hat, you know, a Trump hat, lots of Trump hat, lots of paraphernalia. First thing I saw when I got there, Waukesha County Expo Center, looked up at the first flag I saw, Confederate flag with the Gadsden snake on it. That's how I'm being welcomed today to the Waukesha Expo.
The Confederate flag.
Yes.
Flying
with the Gadsden snake in it.
With Gadsden snake in it. Flying in Waukesha. Are you freaking kidding me? See, this is what I don't want to see marching down the street in Milwaukee, man. I find that eternally offensive. But no Nazi flags? I guess I'm wondering where the delineation is for the MAGAs.
If anyone's got swastika flags, they weren't marketing them. But you could buy the Confederate flag with the Gadsden snake on it. You could buy that.
Oh, that was one of the vendors? That wasn't the individual? It was the vendor. Okay,
gotcha. A whole series of flags he had, but that was the one that grabbed my attention. I just, for some reason, I gravitated to that one, Dom. Yeah, maybe weird. It was the fact it was right at the entry point. Yeah. So, you know, I did a little flag shopping, or at least perused. He was a nice guy, not from here, vendor. He's deadheading around. Met some nice, immaculate lawn people. and then a few that didn't strike me as having immaculate lawns, perhaps a car on blocks. You know the sort. Yeah. I got some neighbors up north. They got some cars on blocks. You know, they got most of that yard covered.
Certainly. Well, you know, they're going to get to it sooner or later. That's why it's on the blocks, man. I'm very busy and have lots of mechanicking to do. So we'll just set it over there for a while. We'll get to it later.
Here's one interesting part. You know, you expect cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I think that's what those of us, and I wouldn't throw myself in the bubble, but I got some elitist friends, liberals, you know who you are. You live in the bubble, whether it's on the coast or whether it's here in the state of Wisconsin, perhaps in Madison, let's say.
What do you mean by that? Well, the bubble. Help me understand. This seems like you're kind of broad brushing.
Dom, that's because you live within the bubble. You're a bubble boy.
I live in the bubble. Okay, tell me more about my bubble. I'd love to hear more about me.
When's the last time you hung out with Enders? I mean, I know you got Trumpster friends. But the vast majority of them, I would suspect, are not. And you do have some Trumpster family, because I know you do. But I'm just saying, the people you choose to make most of your associations with, I partied with your friends group, you got some liberals in there. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Preponderance of liberals.
But that makes it a bubble, because, as mentioned, we have Trumpster friends and Trumpster family.
So. Do you have to be both a contrarian and a bubble burster? Can I not just tell a son of
because bitchin' story? You're telling me your story is the bubble. And I right off the bat, I have an issue with that.
I think you've completely lost sense of what the story was about, and you made it about you. So please, you continue the story.
The reason I made it about me is because I'm making it about me because I don't want to soup anybody else. What I do know about my lifestyle and my experiences and my social group, I understand that part. I don't know what other people's are. Now, you're telling me that I, like some of these other folks, perhaps I live in the leftist bubble, the progressive bubble? Is that what you're telling me?
To a degree. I'm implying and stating aloud directly that that's what I was saying. Yes, that's what I said. I stand by the prior statement.
I think you're absolutely wrong in that regard. But please continue. Tell me more about your assumptions of my bubble and other people's bubbles.
When's the last time you hung out at a Trumpster bar?
I don't know. I don't always know what kind of bars I'm into when I walk into them, unless there's the Trump flag hanging up or the Confederate flag. I have no idea.
Well, let's just say for me, it was last Saturday night. I was in a Trumpster bar.
Okay.
And there was some clear and obvious evidence in the bar. And I forget what the tchotchkes were, but they were marking their territory. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And I suspect that the people that frequent the bar, because I sat there and I listened to much of the bar talk, the Brewers were getting crushed by the Yankees, I believe. Not much action in the ball game. So I was people observing, as I was trying to do today. And my point is, we talk about the Trump supportive. And so many, never Dom, probably he'd never broad brush or stereotype or do any of that sort. But many of my liberal friends in our audience want to accuse all Trumpsters of just being backwano crazy, right? Oh, they're crazy. They're crazy. But here's the impression I get. Most of them didn't strike me on the surface, on the get-go, as being crazy. It doesn't jump out at you. Now, there were a few exceptions. Did I mention that I have an exclusive interview with MyPillow CEO, declared crackhead, former crackhead.
Former crackhead.
Mike Lindell. Gonna bring that for you in the big show today. I've got Mike Lindell sound. And
I'm just hanging on. Mike Lindell, is he in the crazy category or what?
I would only when he started talking.
No.
Like when I ask him on specific questions, because I did ask him some questions. Unfortunately, it was a windy day. That Confederate flag with Gadsden on it, it was blowing in the breeze. But when I interviewed him, some of what he said made a lot of sense. You know, there's a lot of personal animus between him and Robin Voss. I got some breaking news. I broke this news to the Washington Post today. They asked me if I was putting it on social media. I said, if the Wi-Fi works, I would. That also made me a little irritated. Could not get on the...
Shut it all down,
no, yeah. Oh, God, man. You couldn't even post some videos, so I had to haul ass. I'm watching half of Trump's speech. He does like a 90-minute sidewinding speech all the way up to game time. I'm at the Expo Center. And who else did I see? Any other noteworthy people? Big Ugly Keith. He was there.
Our pal Keith.
Well,
conservative Keith. Wasn't he? He's in Waukesha. He's a Waukesha guy, right?
That's
his backyard.
It is absolutely his backyard and his sort of crowd. And he might be the exception to the rule. The crazy is obvious. The crazy is strong with that one. I mean, he's a partisan. He's all in. And, you know, I wished him well. I hadn't seen him in a while. We took a selfie. I sent you a picture. Big Ugly Keith. Keith was a staffer once, twice, thrice fired for sending untoward racist tweets or something. And then, you know, someone had to fall on the sword and it was always Keith, apparently. Good soldier that he is. Loyalist. He was near the front of the line. He got in early. Here's
hyper-partisan, do you consider someone who's hyper-partisan crazy? If you're going to dismiss all evidence and all facts and all things to the contrary, to believe something or claim you believe whatever the partisan line is that crazy? I don't know if it is versus a willful effort to be ignorant of the facts.
Well, that's a great point you make. I was not surrounded by crazy so much as willful ignorance of the facts. Seeming willful ignorance. Even the very rational guys, this one guy, Richard from West Dallas, smart guy, knew a lot, except the facts. Any facts? Completely foreign. Like we lived in a different world. Like
a
apparently
different bubble?
I, unlike you, was over here in an elitist bubble, except for my occasional partying in the bars up north. Dear, hey, come back. More Devil's Advocates. A special edition. Devils do Trump in Waukesha.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Feel free to join us anytime on the lines. Love it when you do participate. Political party at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we'll talk about the Trump rally and the many, many willfully ignorant that I spoke to today. And some I felt like were the faithful. Mike Lindell, he believes. I believe that he believes what he says. And I also believe that he was treated like a rock star in that setting. Mike Lindell had quite a following in Waukesha. And he worked the rope line. And I mean, not a couple of selfies, like hundreds of individual selfies done by Mike Lindell. He glad-handed every person. Talking about a guy into retail politics, Mike Lindell is a businessman, perhaps a grifter, code War Room. He did the War Room podcast with podcaster Steve Bannon live in real time from right in front of the Trump crowd.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Steve Bannon. I mean, they're really bringing out all the stops for this guy.
So,
okay, Mike Lindell, Steve Bannon.
I'm putting that off. I have an exclusive with Mike Lindell. Not everyone got an exclusive with Mike Lindell. So, you know, I'm putting that off to the 4 o'clock hour. Got to share that with the broader American audience. Everyone's going to want to hear my exclusive, Dom. I feel confident. but please
I look forward to it. I mean, again, the character of Mike Lindell, right? This guy doesn't pay his lawyers, doesn't pay the $5 million to the guy who was supposed to, if anyone can prove me wrong, I'll pay you $5 million. Didn't pay that. Is he also being sued by Dominion and Smartmatic? I'm not clear where.
He's on the wrong end of some defamation.
Wrong end of that. So the guy who's up there, provably lying about voting systems in this country, Dominion specifically, if he's part of that, very well received by the mega faithful. And
not only that, Tom, there's more about
the people that you hang out with. You know, is that not a reflection? I mean, if he's being embraced to that degree, the guy who owns and is being sued left and right for his, let's call it, lack of business.
Are we talking about Trump or Mike Lindell at this point?
Like Mike Lindell at this point. It's hard to say, man. Pick him up. I mean, any of the Trump faithful have probably been, you know, sued for lying somewhere along the line. And Mike Lindell is one of them. Mike Lindell is, I can't believe this guy was even thrust upon us. Why in God's green earth do we need to know this pillow guy was going to the White House and pushing lies at the White House? He is part of the problem, and he is received by Waukesha, Wisconsin as some sort of Robin Hood hero? I mean, what?
Are you somehow diminishing my exclusive interview with Mike Lindell that I plan to share with the audience?
Not at all.
I've already shared this with the Washington Post, Tom. Saw our buddy Patrick Marley there. He was very interested to hear the inside baseball story that I got from Mike Lindell about Robin Voss in election night 2022 and the bad blood between those two. It's going to be worth a listen, Don, but that's for the 4 o'clock hour. Let me tell you,
I was
in the car by about 7:30 this morning. I think I jumped on the highway, and that's about the time, that armed riot police were confronting student protesters. And I haven't confirmed that each and every arrestee was a student, but the encampment on Library Mall, well, they got de-encamped this morning. And I got to tell you, Dom, I actually was listening to Right Wing Talk Radio in deference to the fact that I was going to cover a Trump event. And I heard the governor of the state of Wisconsin, I mean Tony Evers, not the former wanker, but Tony Evers said yesterday and was quoted on inferior righty-whitey talk radio as stating, well, the encampments cannot stand. And we got to do something about it. And hopefully we can negotiate a settlement, but these people may not stay there. And I thought, why not? Who cares? It's almost the end of the semester. I mean, if they are students, they're going home because they're going to be out of their dorms. So, you know, if they've moved into a tent, so be it. At some point, they're going to run out of clean underwear.
Right. And they're going to leave.
They're going to leave.
They want to take a shower.
Their cell phone's going to get broken.
They're going to leave on their own eventually. Right?
Yes. But that's not how it went down.
Go ahead.
I've just got to wonder. Now, I heard the sound of Tony Evers, and I'm sorry, I don't think we've got that sound. Do we, Dom? I asked you, but no. I know you had a busy day in your own regard. Maybe not as busy as mine, but still, I'll take, you know, busy for being in a bubble. Let's put it that way. So, but Evers, I couldn't believe Evers, and, you know, he wasn't taking the Scott Walker attitude that arrest them, expel them, wreck their permanent record. That wasn't Evers' advocacy, but I did believe from what I heard on the tape that Evers was basically saying, you know, well, we got to move them out. Time to move on. I mean, been what, 48 hours?
Couple of days, right?
And I'm thinking to myself, as a guy who supported the protests happening at the Wisconsin State Capitol, the uprising, I think they called it, Dom. And
over Act 10?
I mean, had Scott Walker cleared the building in 2 days during the uprising, when all those kids were camping and all those union people and supportive others were up there camping at that Wisconsin State Capitol, my daughter was up there. If I'd have heard Tony Evers advocating to clear the Capitol, well, I hope they leave peacefully.
Scott Walker.
Well,
yeah, Scott Walker did not clear the Capitol. Tony Evers presumably
clearing an outdoor park.
Supported the protest of Act 10. Would you say that's probably
accurate? I'm not clear. I would assume. that Tony stood with the teachers.
He's a former educator. I would assume he was at least supportive in some regard. But why not advocate for clearing of them then and the students now? That seems to be contradictory philosophies. Again, what is the delineation? Because those are educators and these are your people. What, you never were in school, man? You never heard of protest? A couple of days camping out, so what? No, man, the response from the universities and the authorities, generally, in my impression, was way worse than it had to be. Now, individual actions of individual violence between pro this and anti that, those can be handled like any other drunk university handles their Friday night. You can do those on a one-on-one basis.
You know what the kids, what these protesters were chanting back at the cops? Where were you on Mifflin Street? Right? Didn't have a whole row of riot-geared cops on Mifflin Street when they were flipping cars, but some kids camping on the Library Mall to support the Palestinian movement? Well, even Governor Tony Evers says, that cannot stand, gotta clear the decks.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, not at all pleased with the news I got as I was driving down to the Trump rally this morning, and it had nothing to do with Trump for a change. The bad news was, in my opinion, that over-enthusiastic university officials had ordered, or state officials, and I don't know who said, bring in the state patrol, bring in the sheriff's deputies, but reportedly, according to the Capital Times, like 85 cops marched on basically a two-day-old tent camp on Library Mall. I looked it up, by the way. The occupation of the Wisconsin State Capitol, remember when Wanker used to say, Occupy Wall Street started on my street.
Yeah.
Right here in this building, a block away from me right now, Dom. Do you know that went on for over 2 weeks, the occupation of the Wisconsin State Capitol?
2 weeks, huh?
2 weeks, people camping. Didn't end, and it always was peaceful, but it didn't end until Judge John Albert ordered that people leave. And when the judge said leave, the people left. Amazing how that works. But somebody condoned this. According to the Capital Times, and I see you, Susan, you are first in the queue. If you'll be just a little patient, I'd love to make you the first caller today. Police descend on Gaza war protesters at UW-Madison, begin arrests. This from the Cap Times. State and local police broke a two-day standoff. Two freaking days. With anti-Gaza war protesters Wednesday morning as they began removing an encampment at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and arresting people in the crowd. As officers pulled up tents and threw them into a trailer, a recorded message could be heard coming from a loudspeaker. Was it Meathead? Reminding protesters that camping on the university property is a violation of state administrative code. I think that's what they arrested us on, Dom, back in 2013.
$200 and 50-cent fine, question mark?
When Scott Walker sent his stormtroopers to arrest the Solidarity sing-along participants. Wonder if Tony would have cracked down on them as well. Police armed with shields, some that were marked State Patrol, others marked Sheriff, stood in formation as officers took down the dozens of tents that protesters started placing on the Library Mall on Monday morning. The protest had remained relatively quiet, and tents remained in place for two whole days, Dom, despite warnings from university leaders that overnight camping was illegal. Breaking the law. Protesters continued to link arms and chant as roughly 80 officers moved in. Seems like overkill. Similar scenes are taking place at college campuses across the country. At UW-Madison, police reported that 34 protesters were arrested, but that the majority were released without citations. I'll tell you what, folks, they could still mail them to you. We've learned this.
Yes.
Four, however, were booked into Dane County Jail on charges ranging from resisting arrest to attempting to disarm a police officer. UW Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin said in a prepared statement that while the gathering on the library mall this week has been largely peaceful, it was time to crack some heads. No, pardon me. I'll read directly from her statement.
Okay.
We have witnessed disturbing accounts of people not affiliated with the campus coming into the area, attracted by the encampment, and engaging in confrontational and other insightful behaviors. Such an increased risk to the safety of our community, which would be expected to grow over time, was a significant contributing factor to today's action to address the illegal encampment. So also sounds like she signed off on it. The chancellor said, time to go. Because there's some outside disruptive people that have joined.
And the outside disruptive people story is consistent with other universities as well. This is being told. And I'm not saying it's true or not true. I imagine it could be true. Nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. But this is a similar story being told in other universities. That's not just the students. It's these outside agitators.
Mnuchin also said that a small number of blatantly anti-Semitic actions on the grounds of the encampment have been credibly reported, but with no evidence that any members of our UW-Madison community engaged in this odious activity. No one's condoning that. Dom, here's an interesting point. Samir Alaout, an associate professor at UW-Madison's Community and Environmental Sociology Department, was standing with others at the encampment when police approached Wednesday morning. As a Palestinian-American, Alaout, if I said that right, I apologize, sir, said he felt targeted since he was amongst the first arrested. He said officers pushed him to the ground multiple times, but he kept getting back up. A video clip circulating on social media. You know who I first found sharing this? Dan O'Donnell from Right Wing Talk Radio has got the arrest of this guy, more of a still frame. I think he's bleeding from his face, getting his head rubbed in the ground as he's being roughly arrested. And, Dan's take was, you know, professor after round and found out.
Did he?
Very clever.
Sure about that? It made national news, Crudy, CNN reporting on this as well. The professor said this: today, it seems the administration has decided to give the green light for the police force to go in and break up the protest. He said, adding the police were charging violently at the demonstrators. He also said, I think it is racially motivated. I'm the only Palestinian-American professor who is advising, for example, a student group here and who has been involved with the staff and faculty. Everyone in the administration knows me.
Another professor, Sammy Schlock, a associate professor, University's Department of Gender and Women's Studies, posted on Twitter that she was detained and released by police and later went to a hospital to have her injuries checked. A cop grabbed my dress and ripped it half off my body, injuring my arm. Another put his hands around my throat from behind to get me to the ground. These are college professors making these reports. The Dane County Sheriff's Office said three of its deputies were injured, and a state trooper was reportedly hit in the head with a skateboard by a protester. Again, nobody's condoning violence. But if the fear was this was going to escalate, if the encampment was left to stay, so what the hell you call this?
We'll escalate first. Crudy, also on this story, WPR reporting, UW Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin saying this: every individual was given the opportunity to move away from the tent area and continue peaceful protest. I cannot emphasize strongly enough our support for free expression and peaceful protest. Now that the illegal activity has been resolved, students and others are free to resume peaceful protest that abides by campus protest guidelines today or at any time in the future. You may protest properly. But 2 hours later, Crudy, protesters began setting up a new encampment with at least 15 tents. Leaders of the demonstration held training on how to resist further arrests and made plans for a march and rally for Wednesday afternoon.
Jay Rothman, UW-Madison, well, he's the UW University of Wisconsin System President, Jay Rothman, commended UW Chancellor Mnuchin for her reasonableness and resolve, as well as her commitment to free expression and the safety and security of her students. if not a few of the associate professors. At the end of the day, certainly we are committed to freedom of expression on our campuses. That's absolutely critical. Is it? I read on, but I think we have to differentiate freedom of expression and legal protesting versus illegal activities.
Like camping? Tents
and camping.
Oh, no. It ain't so.
Here's the actual continuation of the quote. And we will continue to address illegal activities on our campuses as appropriate. Do it again, we'll arrest you again. Asked whether arrests will continue as tents remain at UW-Madison, Rothman wouldn't speculate, but said, this will be a process. That's a yes, Dom. I think the Chancellor Mnuchin has made it clear that there is accountability for actions that are taken, and the university will make appropriate determinations on that front, I am confident. Rothman also said he agrees with the comment that Tony Evers made to reporters yesterday. I do not, Tony. At some point in time, the encampments have to end. So they had the blessing of the governor, led by the UW Chancellor Mnuchin, at least according to her statement, with the condonement of the UW President Jay Rothman. Man, this one sucks.
During a press conference after the encampment had been cleared, UW-Madison police spokesperson Mark Levicott said demonstrators are welcome in the Liberty Mall as long as they're not camping. They were illegally camping and using camping equipment here on campus. A lot of camp going on.
Isn't that what they call
that's
a campus?
That's the main, reason. That's the main reason why we are here today and what we enforced. We're welcoming protesters, and we welcome protesters here all along. You can't camp here, though.
It's the camping. They have a big issue with the camping.
Here. You know, and I got to, honestly, Curdy, I hate camping. So I'm totally okay with this.
Dom, here's when you know you're wrong. Here's when you know you're wrong. When Robin Voss agrees with you. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also praised Mnuchin on Twitter for doing the right thing by enforcing campus policies and standing up to the unruly mob. Well, that's your characterization. That's not what the chancellor said and why it was necessary to enforce this for the illegal activity of bringing a tent to campus named after camping, I think. Probably not, but, you know, let's say for good measure.
I mean, truth doesn't matter anymore. Truth is truth. It doesn't even matter anymore, as Lindell would say.
Susan from the town of Dunn. Welcome, Susan. Thank you for your patience.
Hi, Susan. Hi. Well, I do have, hi guys. And I really, I do have to say that actually Todd watched the whole thing for 2 hours this morning. And he had a whole different perspective on this because he
Todd who, Susan?
They didn't have, Todd Alba, okay? Your Cub reporter reported on this today during his show. And he had a whole different take on this. So, you know, it's kind of
what's
like
your take, Susan?
Beholder. Well, my take is that, you know, I wouldn't have moved the camp. I would not have moved the tent personally, but that's just because I'm an old hippie. What can I say? And I also know I was around when they did the Vietnam protest and the Black Panthers were in town. I was around during that time, and there was a lot of movement on campus and a lot of crowds. I mean, if they weren't crowds, they got thousands of people walking down University Avenue and everything. But I think for me, actually, if you want to make a point, because what Todd had said is they removed the tents and they kept the food. They could keep the food and water there and they could stay there. That's what he said. He reported that today because he watched it. But I'm just saying that they, you know, sure, they can protest. They can do whatever they want to do. I don't care. But I guess if, because of the way society is today, if you step over these lines, sometimes you get in trouble, as you know yourself. And so I guess you have to decide where the rubber meets the road. So where would be the best place to protest? Maybe.
Susan, I'm going to cut you off only because I want to leave time for a few other callers if there is time. But here's my thought. If you're going to protest in your outdoors in an open setting, you're not occupying a building. That's what the students at Columbia University had been accused of doing. Obviously, they did. Some non-students, apparently, they found out during time of arrest. But you're out of doors. So you're not disturbing anyone. They're not shutting down the university process. They're not shutting down state politics. Although we've seen our progressive and our liberal and our labor friends do that for a couple of weeks in the history of this state, the protest. And you know what? Sometimes, Susan, as a businessman, that wasn't my fight. But I still knew they had the right to do it. And it was a lot more inconveniencing of me when there's 100,000 people on the square and I'm trying to drive through the isthmus. And it just doesn't work out when there's farm implements from here to the skyline. You know what I'm saying? So I was completely supportive of that action, even though I might have been inconvenienced, might have not been my first choice of protest. But this, shutting it down in 2 days, this is not an adequate time. I mean, this is chilling, and I don't like it at all, Susan, and I hope somebody freaking sues over it. I think they should have the right to protest, and if you're talking about the conduct of showing up with a tent, that's thin gruel. That's the crap that Scott Walker used to claim. But I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for listening. Some call us the greatest show ever. I hope you agree with them. Yeah. 844-967-2789. Falcon, you be patient. We'll get to you next.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making and the book.
The Devil Advocates Radio Show phone lines open, taking your calls. Happy May Day, 844-967-2789.
Today was the day the university decided 2 days was enough. That encampment's got to end. Apparently others think that's fine, but I less so. I don't agree with the sentiments of Robin Voss or Tony Evers or Mnuchin. I think this was way too quick. I mean, let the kids camp. Hell, these are probably mostly kids that are not wanting to take their final exams, Tom. That's my prediction. I suspect they're serious, but please, you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and what we're not talking about when we're talking about this is, what is the point? What is the protest? Right? They want these universities to divest from investments that would fund or would profit from, war in Gaza. You know, when there's, you know, a bunch of Palestinian kids getting bombed to dust because of the attack on the Israeli people by Hamas.
There are a small group of protesters marching up State Street currently with amplified sound on. That's bad conduct too. Clearly, they're
can't have that amplified sound. You better get them a noise violation ticket. I'm sure they're breaking some sort of administrative code. How dare you with a protest? But listen, these are legitimate reasons to protest. And there's grievances on all sides. Imagine a complex problem that people have issues with on all sides, for reals, right? I'm sure you have Jewish students standing with the pro-Palestinian people. You certainly do. I know you do. I'm one of them. I'm not a Jewish student, but, you know, I'm from the tribe. I'm down. Let's get away from this. But then you have the other side. You have those that would want to engage. And man, listen, Kurt, you've been in the crowd. You've been in the quote-unquote mob. You know, man, the mob rules. The people get psyched up, and especially when emotions are high and groups come together and you have conflicting, you know, animus, man, confrontations happen. These things happen. That is humanity. How the authorities, quote unquote, decide to address it says a whole lot. And it seems like there's a bunch of people sitting on their hands looking for some heads to crack. Now, we didn't get to the point here in Madison that we had in other universities, certainly, but we seem to have as quick of a reaction. So why is that?
What are you talking about, man? The college professor had cuts on his face, I believe had stitches, right, needed
due,
medical.
Due to the overreaction of the authorities, man, that was not because of some fight between pro and anti-Palestinian.
Yes, correct. Melinda Brennan, the executive director of the ACLU of Wisconsin, condemned the police response to peaceful acts of dissent. Wherever the ACLU is at, I'm damn near always right with them. Just saying. Here's more. Adding that it only makes things worse. too often in these situations, or too often in situations like this, we've seen police behave recklessly, violate the law, and endanger people gathered at protests and acts of civil disobedience. Inviting armed police into a campus protest environment can create unacceptable risks for all students, faculty, and staff. Yeah, talking about rapid
escalation.
Thank you for helping me. I get a little emotional, Dom. But, I mean, literally, one of the charged was for trying to disarm a cop. Let's not forget what happened on January 6th, and I'm not analogizing this small event to January 6th, except in that they tried to take the cops' guns, right? And Michael Fanoni, I believe, is the guy that tells the story of literally having his gun taken away from him, his service revolver. What if someone just starts shooting? I think of Kyle Rittenhouse, for example, but I guess that would all be...
It would be fine, right? Because you're there to protect the grass of the university from those evil tents and came in with your, you know, your AR-15 and decided to, you know, get yourself in the middle of a mob. And if people took a issue with that and tried to hit him and disarm him, he could, you know, apparently just shoot everyone. That's the new rules we're living by?
844-967-2789. Falcon from Madison. Welcome, Falcon. What do you got for us?
Hey, Falcon.
Hey, guys. Love the show. You guys are awesome. I don't know. I think you guys are blowing this a little out of proportion. Don't conflate this with the uprising, with the Act 10 uprising. I didn't see many college students there. I was there for 2 weeks. I didn't see a heck of a lot of college students.
My 16-year-old daughter was there.
If I may interject.
And the teachers, these college students are adults.
Yeah.
They're adults. Let's just say they're adults. And the folks occupying the Capitol during Act 10 were adults. The analogy is seemingly... Correct. Governor Evers has more of an issue with this particular after 2 days than he did as superintendent or whatever he was, head of education. Then I don't know. I couldn't find anything specifically, but do you see the different reaction? And why do you think that is?
I see the different reaction.
And why do you think that is?
Well, camping is illegal. No one was trying to camp on Capitol lawn.
They camped inside the Capitol, Falcon. Were you not there, dude?
I was there. I was there for 2 weeks.
Okay, so let's call that camping. Let's call that camping not allowed. Let's say those things are, if not the same, very similar. Why the different reaction in your opinion, Falcon?
I don't really know. I just think there's bigger fish to fry than 200 kids at a protest.
I agree. So leave them alone. Let them blow off some steam on the lawn out there, man. Better that than Mifflin Street. Mifflin Street can't take another riot. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Going to turn our attention not just to the phone lines, and your calls are appreciated at 844-967-2789, but I've got exclusive sound of me and the MyPillow CEO, former crackhead, Mike Lindell. We'll come back. A happy hour indeed.